what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but we need to appreciate the ridiculousness of their honesty. There you go. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think in regards to the government and the ministry and the media. Pretty simple. We don't really need to appreciate their ridiculousness of their dishonesty. Ooh, Dave, are you saying the media is dishonest? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I'll show you where. Also, life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I appreciate you as brothers and sisters. There you go. You are appreciated. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, but we don't care. How about that? But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. You know, this is a pretty good one. What is the thing that you appreciate the most about fellowship? Like when you get together and you have, you know, like your Bible study or your prayer group, or if you have your kinship, your fellowship group, your home group, whatever they call them, because everybody has a different name, that doesn't matter. When you get together with other believers and you have that intimate Christian fellowship, what do you love the most about it? Some people might say we go into the Word. Some people say we pray, talk to one another, share with one another, just encouraging one another. What is it that you love the most about it? If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness, because that's just sad. Just give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite Dave.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like heading into the weekend with great faith and expectation.
Pretty good, Dave.
Yeah, I'm just rolling. This has been a fabulous Monday. It's pretty tough to say it's been a fabulous Monday unless you spend time with the Lord. Then it can be a fabulous Monday. Just saying, that's how it goes. Also, by the way, you can text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice.
214-210-8483.
There you go. You can email us as well. That's fun. We've been getting a lot more emails lately. It's totally cool. Just takes me a couple seconds because the Chromebook's not very fast. Let me just say. So you got a Chromebook and you put it on the desk, and then you take a turtle and you put it on the desk, and the Chromebook will never win. That's how fast it is. Anyway, if you want to, you can email us david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at HeMustIncrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website. A couple things to remind you about. Of course, on the website, prayer and praise forms are there. If you need prayer for something, don't hesitate. If you got a praise you want to share, don't hesitate. Those are great things to interact with. Plus, there's videos. Plus, there's audios. Plus, there's access to about 4,600 hours
That's a lot of hours
of podcast information. It's available for you there. And then we also want to remind you, the little red box when you get on the website says give or donate. It's what it says, 100% tax deductible. Here's our scripture for donating today. It's a classic. It's one of my faves, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So when you give, smile. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
You know, that's just what I was saying to somebody I was talking to the other day. Almost exactly. Just like that. Okay. That's not bad. All right. So much to cover. Please, 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 please don't forget to be praying for the audience. You should be praying for, or I'll give you some people that you can pray for. Don't forget about Mimi. Don't forget about Sally Kirkwood. Don't forget about Mary. I'm going to be reaching out to Mary, trying to get in touch with Mary this week. Also, be praying for people who have some illnesses, some struggles. You, like I said, you know about Nola, you know about John, you know about the different people that really need help or really need comfort. Praying, of course, for Joanne and her victories and what she's going through. And just praying for each person to draw their strength from the Lord and find their strength in Him and let Him be their partner in all of those things. You want to be praying for people because Jesus wants you to be praying for your brothers and your sisters. So I cannot stress the level of importance. We'll pray later on in the show, but I want you to take that burden on. I'm not just going to pray each time and then I pray and then nobody has to pray. It's like, no, no, no. Everybody shares the burden in prayer. Okay? Super duper important. We are in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And for those who do not know, we are at verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, and it says the following: for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write to you, though I hope to come and see you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write to you so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. Let's just stop right there. Just be aware. Hey, now you're not the only person that has hopes. Paul's like, well, I hope I get to see you. Yeah, I know. I hope many things. I hope people that get to hear this show get blessed and draw closer to the Lord. You know, I pray every day that God will help every one of you physically and financially. And then I take it up a notch because, see, physically is really important because it's hard to function without physicality. Financially, I just want you guys to be blessed. I mean, that's just because it's cool. And then we take it to that next level. You want the Lord to bless people, you know, emotionally, psychologically, in their relationships, in their ministry, in their work, and everything else. You can just cover those things when you think about people. Think of all the things that you would like people to pray for you in. That's how you want to be praying for other people as well. So let's look at this first element as we finish these qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which is not the same as Titus. Cannot stress that enough. We see that the deacons are declared as people who have a good standing in the faith and great boldness in the faith. That good standing has to do with their position amongst the believers in the fellowship. Some people say that has to do with people outside the church. No, it doesn't. It has to do with people inside the church. Their boldness of faith has to do with their willingness to share about being a Christian outside the fellowship. That's how you know. So, like, they got to have a good standing in their faith and a boldness in their faith. The good standing is amongst brothers and sisters. The boldness is about people that are not in the faith, to be able to share that faith. It's an excellent way to understand that deacons represent Jesus Christ in and out of the church. In the church by being great examples, by being strong in their positions, and outside the church, taking the gospel wherever they go, That's why your feet are shod with the gospel of peace in regards to the armor, because the gospel goes wherever your feet go. See, that's how that works. Then he says this. He desires to come into, Paul says, I desire to come and see you. But he's well aware, and this is something I think that I still work on. I would bet Dynamite D works on it. I bet all of us work on it. I am still aware that my plans are not always God's plans. Even if you're an exceptional apostle, it does not mean that your plans are God's plans. And see, this is a good thing to remember. Why? Well, because I have plans for this week. Now, I know God's up there going, I know you do. It's like with that little laugh. Why? Because I think I know what's going to happen. Sure. Here's the bottom line. Paul's saying, you know, it doesn't always work the way I want it to, but I want you to know, Timothy, I sure hope I can come and see you. But if I don't, I'm writing to let you know how things should be in the church. And so it would do all of us well to heed Paul's humility relating to where he's going, and where he's going is more in the hands of the Lord than in his own hands. And so where are you going tomorrow? Well, you got plans. You might have plans to go to work. You might have plans to go to some kind of Bible study. I think it's great. You should love it. It's fantastic. But your plans and your life and your steps are in the hand of God. And while you may have plans, and I love that you have plans, and it's a good thing to plan, you can't be afraid of those plans. You can offer them up in faith. You can operate by faith because that pleases God, but you also have to operate in submission because that pleases God too. So you go with faith, with surrender, believing that God is with you because he says so. Remember, you want to be a Bible believer. Don't be a Bible observer. Be a Bible believer. And Jesus promises he's going to be with you. Lo, always I'm with you, even to the end of the age. He's with us in Matthew 1. He's with us in Matthew 28. He's with us. Being with us means we trust him as we go on the journey step by step. What's going to happen tomorrow? Don't know. What I do know is who holds tomorrow in the palm of his hand. And if I know him who holds tomorrow, I don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. So fear loses a little grip when I operate in the power of truth, which we all should be doing on a regular basis, right? Stop being afraid. You don't know what's going to happen. It only takes a moment for a miracle, right? So just calm down. All right. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
This is really cool. Still in Hebrews, but this is towards the end, and I'm kind of pushing through into chapter 8. It says this, Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the promise of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son who's been perfected forever. Now, the main point of what is being said is this. We have this kind of high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and the true tabernacle that was set up by the Lord and not men. Two really cool, quick points. Number one, the priesthood for mankind based on the earth has weakness in it. Jesus doesn't have weakness. He's perfect. I would rather have somebody who is perfect in everything he does praying for me than somebody who's loaded with weakness. It's not that I don't want people with weakness praying for me. I just would have, if I'm given a preference, I'd rather have the full meal and not bits and pieces. Okay? That's number one. And then number two is this.
This is the best one.
The high priest, and you got to think about this. Jesus prays for you. Jesus intercedes for you, so to speak. He petitions for you is really what we would say. When the high priest on earth petitions for you, where is he? He's in the sanctuary, right? A copy of the things that are made that represent what's actually in heaven. When Jesus intercedes for you, where is he? He's actually in heaven at the right hand of the Father, making that intercession for you in the actual temple, not a copy of the temple, actually next to God the Father, not symbolically next to God the Father. So when Jesus intercedes for you, he's right next door. That's the kind of high priest that is powerful. You think he's got the Father's ear, so to speak? I say yes. The answer is yes.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's Amen 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Now, I'm going to tell you something ahead of time. We're doing five trivia questions. All five of these answers are found in the New Testament. All five of these are first verses of a book or an epistle in the New Testament. And I am going to do my best to give you pretty decent help to get there, because it is really important for us to understand these things. Understanding the Word of God and how it applies and where it is important for the Christian, especially because they're trying to rip apart the Word of God in society. Here's your first trivia question. Which book starts with? Ready? Which book starts with? For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Your only hint, it is a gospel. Which book starts with, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us? Which gospel starts with that verse? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. We'll do our DNA, because DNA is our time to do it right now. Here we go. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. How about this? Every day you breathe in oxygen. Yeah, do that one. Every day you breathe in oxygen, every day you're breathing, spend some time with the Lord. That's one. Because that breath is a gift. It's not entitlement. It's a gift. That's number one. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say, no matter what. Or no matter who throws stuff at you. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. OPM. Other people matter. Spend some of the energy you spend on yourself and spend that on other people. Share with them the ups and the downs. Participate with them exactly as God designed the church to be. And be a person who fulfills the law of Christ and honors Jesus by what you do. There you go. That's our DNA. No matter what new news comes, even if the oceans dry up, even if the hills and the mountains fall into the sea, do these things. These will get you through.
Okay. Why? Because it's all about leaning on the Lord and doing for the Lord. That's why. All right. Back to the triv question. So which of the Gospels, so there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which of those four start with, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which most surely are believed among us"? Which of the books starts that way? And of course, now I will give you that last little hint because I'm feeling very nice on a Monday. Here it is. The only thing I can say is, "I am your father." Okay, see if you can figure out where that one goes. What is before that one? "I am your father." Okay. If you think you know the answer to the trivia question, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We have come to, some argue, the most pivotal scripture in 1 Timothy. I think it's probably definitely one of them. I cannot argue against that. It just seems right to me. Here's what it says as we back it up and kind of walk our way through from verse 14 in 1 Timothy chapter 3. "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." What? "So you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." See, here's the thing right here. Let me just say this real quick. Churches shouldn't be dead because it's the church of the living God. And when churches are dead, the living God ain't there. Because if it's dead, there's a problem. Because Revelation makes it very clear when God says in Revelation 21:5, "I make all things new." There's no deadness. There's not supposed to be deadness in the church. If God is there, it ain't dead. Just that simple. The church of the living God. 1 Timothy. We're in chapter 3. I'm just making sure we're in chapter 3. And that's verse 14 and 15. I mean, this is powerful. And you get into 16, but we'll get to that in a second. "But in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Church should be alive. Church should be full of life. And then it says, "the pillar and ground," or it might be the word foundation, "the pillar and foundation," the pillar and the ground of truth. How is the church the pillar and the ground of truth? Because we use this thing called the book. It's the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand by faith on the word of God. It's the B-I-B-L-E. And us goofy Christians believe that because God created the universe, the dude can write a book. And you're thinking, well, shouldn't just the church be able to declare what truth is? The problem with that is it's still sinful man trying to walk in the rightness of God and then coming up with their own systems. So in the wisdom of God, he said, use this. This is John 17:17. "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth," Jesus said. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And also it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Just look at all these combinations that make it very clear. Well, what about the church government? Oh, church government's fun. A great time. People are up and down. That's fantastic. You know why that's not the church government structure is not where the truth comes from? Because church government still operates by sinful man. And God, wanting to get a message through, decided to write a book. And the book is where we use our foundational teachings for everything. That's why the church is supposed to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, what it doesn't say is the church should be the pillar and the ground of the culture. It doesn't say that? No, it doesn't say it. The church should be the pillar and foundation of the culture. No, it shouldn't. Cultures change. Kingdoms change. Kings change. Governments change. The truth doesn't change. And when we operate on the principle of God's truth, there's neither shadow nor variableness of turning. God is faithful and true. It's all the rest of us that aren't. So the church is the foundation. The church is the pillar. It's really cool if you think about it, because the foundation, you build on it, the pillar holds things up. Yeah, all of that from and by the truth. And the truth is the Word of God. So that's what the church is called to be, is a reflection of that Word of God, a declaration of that Word of God, an explanation of that Word of God, a proclamation of that Word of God, a defense of that Word of God. And if people don't like it, then I guess they'll just, what, hate the church? People that hate the truth hate the church.
Ooh, that's mean.
Yeah, I know, but it's still true. Which book in the New Testament starts with, "For as much as many have undertaken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us"? I gave you that it was one of the Gospels, and then I also said it was the first part of this one, "I am your father." That would have been, from a Star Wars reference, Luke, "I am your father." And the answer is the Gospel of Luke. Starts with, "For as much as many have undertaken to set forth in order." That's the answer to the trivia question. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. This is really important stuff, so I don't want to, by any means, fail to communicate it. So I'm going to kind of run it back through so you can follow it and just pick up on a point or two. As they rode, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" "You can," Philip answered, "if you believe with all your heart." And the eunuch replied, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he can, right? So he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And I want to just, this is, and then I got one more point. That's why I split it up this way. Here's the thing, and I know it's ridiculous to say, but I'm going to say it to you, and it's important for you to recognize. There's a lot of trials going on right now in the world, in your life, in your family, in different people's lives. I understand it happens for me too, okay? I got a daughter who's going through the mill. I got a son who's recovering from COVID. You know, you've got all these things going on, and people that we love having a hard time going through the up and the down. And you know that there's a lot of that stuff going on. I understand. But there is another part of me that also understands this text. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because he's saved. That's why. And all the stuff that we go through, it's a drag. It's like, but there is coming this moment where the fullness of the redemption, of the salvation that's been granted to us by grace, received by faith from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, we're going to get the fullness of that. We'll be dancing on streets of gold. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more memory of all of the ridiculousness. And it will be awesome. And if that's not a reason to rejoice, then we have lost our minds. We're going through a difficult spot, and not every spot's difficult, let's at least be honest, but if you're going through it for 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years, it has its moments. But there is a salvation that is eternal, that doesn't have a limit to the number, and this is, and I still say that what Rick Warren wrote in the Purpose-Driven Life, that first page is the best page of the entire book. You know, your life is like a 1/16th or 1/32nd of an inch on a 100-mile-long piece of tape. That's what this life is. And it's important for us to understand that we have a cause for rejoicing. And for all of the pain and the sorrow, there is nobody that ought to rejoice more than us.
The David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.